about that for a moment. That's pretty interesting. Have you been washed? As I said, you know, we've been out of town and enjoying ourselves and just enjoying the beauty of God. And with that in mind, and then being washed by Christ, I want us to remember what King David prayed to God. If you might remember this, he said, "Wash me and I will be what? Whiter than snow." And that was said by King David almost 1,000 years before Jesus made this statement. That's pretty interesting. King David was confronted by the prophet Nathan about the affair that he had with Bathsheba. And God showed up and eventually blessed the king in those moments. And I want to read some of those moments to you from, again, I'm going to be using the Message today. I like what the Message has to say today. And in Psalm 51, this is where David says, "Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow." But listen to this and how David talks to God. Generous in 51, starting in verse 1. "Generous in love, God give grace. Huge in mercy, wipe out my bad record. Scrub away my guilt and soak out my sins in your laundry. I know how bad I have been. My sins are staring me down. You're the one I violated, and you've seen it all, seen the full extent of my evil. You have all the facts before you. Whatever you decide about me is fair. I've been out of step with you for a long time, in the wrong place since before I was born. What you're after is truth from the inside out. Enter me then, conceive a new true life. Soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean. Scrub me and I'll have a snow white life. Tune me in to foot tapping songs. Set these once broken bones to dancing. Don't look too close for blemishes. Give me a clean bill of health." And it goes on. It's such a wonderful, powerful message of God being on display through King David. And that's what we're going to be talking about. We have been talking about God on display. We'll be talking about it all the way through Easter. And you might recall that we talked about how no one has an excuse because God's hand is all over creation, isn't it? I mean, on vacation again, I snapped a shot of one of my favorite things. It would be a tree. I like to look at trees. Look at that tree. Isn't that beautiful? Unfortunately, what many people see is just that, a tree. A tree. But those who believe see something much more than that. They see God. Not that God is the tree, but they see God on display because he is the one who made that tree. And that's really cool. But here's another one that I took a shot of. Little, or I should say big, jelly. That's a big jellyfish. God is into detail. If you get close, you can see through the top of that jellyfish, you know. And when it's swimming, you can see right through its head or whatever you want to call that fleshy thing that it's got out there. And you don't want to touch it even when they wash up on shore because they can still get you with, you know, with one of their stingers. And you can tell by just getting close to that thing that God is into every single detail. And that's just fantastic. God on display in the jelly. No one has an excuse. No one. To look at those things and then say, there is no God. Because there is. But not only did God put himself on display, but man showed up as well, didn't he? Sin and death came into the world. And because man put himself on display, that jelly that you saw was lying on the beach about to die. That's not because of the jelly. That's because of our sin. And sometimes we put ourselves on display much more than what, well, God puts himself on display, but we put ourselves on display as if we are God. Sin and death came into the world. We have sinned. And so now there is death. But we also talked about a son coming home to his dad. And I think Pastor Tim finished up on that last week from Luke chapter 15, how Jesus displayed God through the father. Remember, the son took off and ran away, and he came home, and the father disgracefully lifts his robe. He runs out. He shows compassion. He shows love on his son running out to meet his kid. That was God on display. I wonder, has anybody seen God on display this week? It's a great question to ask, isn't it? Maybe within your family or friend or whatever. Hey, how have you seen God on display this week? For many of us, it's a tough question to answer. I hope you have, because even in this messed up, crazy world that we live in, God's light still shines. He's always on display. Now, you might not see him. You might not physically see him. You might not feel his presence right now. But he is here. He is here. The stained glass windows that you see speak of him and his handiwork. The oak doors, the pews, the handcrafted stuff that you see around here, they whisper of the faithful who have come into this house and worshiped God. At the same time that we know those things are true, we have to recognize, as Scripture tells us in Acts chapter 7, that God does not live in houses made by human hands. He lives elsewhere. And our hope always here at Lebanon First Baptist Church is that he lives within you. Now, you might be in pain this morning as you're listening. You may be angry. You may be hurt at something or bruised or been beaten up at work. Or maybe some of you still go to school. I don't know. And it's been a rough week. And maybe you have an axe to grind with someone or you need to seek forgiveness from someone. But here is what I will guarantee you. If you open your mind up to Jesus Christ this morning for just these few moments, I can guarantee you that you will taste and see that the Lord is good. Not because of what I'm saying, but because you have opened up your mind to listen to Christ this morning through his word. Two passages I want to share with you. The first is found in the book of Luke, and you can look that up if you'd like. Luke chapter 14. And this is where we find Jesus. He's having Sunday lunch with some religious folks in town. It's kind of like what we do after church, right? Or after Sunday school, or we go to church, we go to Sunday school, or after second service. We go out to lunch with who? Our church buddies, right? The religious folks. So here's Jesus. He's out with the religious folks having lunch. He's on the town. They're eating at Denny's or wherever, or somebody's house, I don't know. But see, as I read this, see if you can find some ways in which God shows up. And we're going to start in verse 1, chapter 14, verse 1. Luke 14, verse 1. Says, one time, now remember, I'm reading from the Message, so it might be a little bit different this morning than what you find in your scripture. One time when Jesus went for a Sabbath meal with one of the top leaders of the Pharisees, all the guests had their eyes on him, watching his every move. And right before him, there was a man hugely swollen in his joints. So Jesus asked the religious scholars and Pharisees present, "Is it permitted to heal on the Sabbath? Yes or no?" Well, they were silent. So he took the man, he healed him, and sent him on his way. And then he said, "Is there anyone here who, if a child or animal fell down a well, wouldn't rush to pull him out immediately, not asking whether or not it was the Sabbath?" Well, they were stumped. There was nothing they could say to that. So how did God show up in this story? I think that's one of the things, you know, when Pastor Tim was talking about, why do we read the Bible? That's probably one of the answers, is that God shows up there. God's in the scripture. So I think the first thing is God displayed himself through the miraculous healing of one considered to be a sinner. You see, this guy was a sinner because he was deformed, or his hands, his joints were hurting, whatever it is. He would have then been considered a sinner, kind of a sort of an outcast. But here's God. God displays himself through miraculous events. Secondly, God showed that life and wholeness were far more important than Sabbath rules. Did you know that? Life and wholeness, far more important. God also displayed himself as a teacher who not only rebuked his listeners, because that's what he was doing, he was kind of rebuking his listeners, he held that doing the right thing was important. God overrides human traditions. Did you know that? That's one of the hardest things for us to realize, because we have so many traditions, most of which are man-made. God overrides them all. God does not refrain. The next thing, God does not refrain from meeting and dining with his opponents. Did you know that? He came to heal the sick. Just being a chaplain is one of those things where God shows up and meets with those who would be opponents. For those of us that believe in Jesus Christ, he met with us when we were what? Opponents. And he brought us home. Now, the second scripture I want us to take a look at is found in Luke chapter 22. Matthew, Mark, Luke, same chapter 22. And I'm not going to read all of this for you. This is a time when Jesus eats the Passover meal. You know, we're getting close to what we call Easter and all of that with his disciples. And here Jesus displays God in a really cool way. You see, all the other gods that were around Zeus and all those folks and that, they demanded service. This is what you will do for me, kind of or else sort of stuff. But the one true God has not only given you the choice to serve or not, he puts kind of this crazy twist on it. Our God puts a crazy twist on it. I'm going to pick it up in verse 14. And again, I will be reading from the message, starting in verse 14. When it was time, Jesus sat down, all the apostles with him, and Jesus said, you've no idea how much I've looked forward to eating this Passover meal with you before I enter my time of suffering. It's the last one that I'll eat until we all eat together in the kingdom of God. Taking the cup, he blessed it and then said, take this and pass it among you. As for me, I'll not drink wine again until the kingdom of God arrives. Taking bread, he blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to them saying, this is my body given for you. Eat in my memory. He did the same with the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant written in my blood, and it's poured out for you. Do you realize that the hand of the one who is betraying me at this moment is at this table? It's true that the Son of Man is going down a path already marked out. No surprises there. But for the one who turns him in, turns traitor to the Son of Man, this is doomsday. And then, of course, they became suspicious and so on. And we find out it's Judas. And so I want to jump down to verse 27, if you take a look at that and following. It says, they started arguing and this and that. And Jesus said, who would you rather be? The one who eats the dinner or the one who serves the dinner? You'd rather eat and be served, right? Think about that from your standpoint, right? Most of us would rather eat, sit down, eat, and be served. That's why Americans go out 5, 6, 7 times a week to eat, right? We want to sit down, eat, and be served. We don't want to be making it. We don't want to be serving anybody. He says, you'd rather eat and be served, right? But I've taken my place among you as one who serves. You see that? I don't think Jesus is the kind of guy that likes to go to a restaurant and be served. I think he's the kind of guy that wants to serve. So how do we see God in this? How do we see God displayed in this story? Well, God displays himself at mealtime. We're going to share in the meal today, and this is where God displays himself. Come and dine. We know that song, right? Come and dine. The master calleth, come and dine. There's plenty at God's table all the time. Who knows that song? Wow. Only two of us ex-Lutherans. Wow, that's pretty, wow. Okay, I get it. It must be a Lutheran song. God wants to dine with you. God wants to break bread with you. Sinners as we are, remember, he'll eat with his opponents. His desire is to share bread for you, and his desire is for you to understand what that bread and that cup is and what it represents. Secondly, God displays himself through his body and through his blood, doesn't he? Jesus said, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood poured out for you." Now, the disciples, they quite didn't catch on or understand what Jesus fully meant at the time, but in time, they certainly would. And today, we do understand because of the end of that story, which we'll get to in a couple of weeks. Then Jesus, or God, right? Because Jesus is God. He says to his disciples, I think he really displays himself in a special way here. He says, "I have taken my place among you as one who serves." Could you imagine being somebody who always believed in all these different gods, these statues and golden calves and all this sort of stuff that you had to pay homage to and respect to, and they never served you? Your whole life was spent just serve, because if you didn't, they could at any time strike you with a lightning bolt or whatever it may be. And here is God in the form of Jesus, Jesus incarnate, right? And he says, "I have taken my place among you as one who serves." What? You're serving me? The gods demand that we serve them. But Jesus, he is the God who serves. And he did so that we might serve him and then serve others. Of our own volition, of our own choice, we get to make that choice. So God displayed that true greatness is not having others serve you. That was the thought of the day. Others serving you, because I'm rich, so other people are serving me. That's true greatness. I have it all. Rather, greatness comes from those who serve. That's where greatness truly comes from. Today, God's on display as we eat together. The table represents God on display. The table represents grace, truth, hope, love, compassion, sacrifice, pain, suffering. It's all there displayed at the table. And this is why Jesus says, when you do it, remember me. Because he went through all of it. It's a teaching moment as to how we are to live as well. The same as Christ, carrying a cross and following him. Now maybe you need a little taste of Jesus today to taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm hoping today that your heart and mind is totally given over to him, because it makes this moment, this table, so much more important and special to you as you worship God the Father through this time together. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, I pray for each person that's in here today. As we break bread with you and as we break bread with one another, may our minds be open to you as you speak to us through the cup and through the bread. May we never forget what you have done, how you put yourself on display through all of this. From the beginning of Genesis all the way through Revelation, you are on display. You're on display here in this building, in our hearts, our minds, out in the community. You're all over the place. And so we say thank you for that. As we come to the table this morning, would you forgive us of our sin? May everyone in here cast all their cares upon you, knowing that you care for each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time together. We thank you that on the night that you were betrayed, you took the bread and you broke it. Eat this in remembrance of me. It was your body which would be broken on our behalf. And the same with the blood. You said, drink this in remembrance of me to your disciples. And this is the new covenant. This is the blood that was shed for our sin. We thank you, Lord, for forgiveness, for the grace, for everything that comes with this table, everything that comes through your word. May we now honor you and humble ourselves before you as we are served this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If I could have our deacons come forward at this time.